Welcome to the next chapter. All this month, we have been defining a tagline for the future of the library. To do so, we have collected your tweets, as well as your blog and Facebook comments. In addition, we created this podcast to give you some insight into what some experts believe is the future of the library. We interviewed a number of people from around the country, including Buffy Hamilton, a librarian from Georgia, Patrick Bassett, president of the National Association of Independent Schools, Peter Brown, an architect from Texas, Will Richardson, learner-in-chief at Connective Learning, Howard Rheingold, an expert on 21st century literacies, David Staley, a professor and futurist, and Helen Blowers, a librarian from Ohio. Thanks for listening, and look out for our June design challenge that will build upon the tagline that you have been helping us to create. To add to our design challenge for May, each interviewed expert provided his or her own tagline on the future of the library. Here are a few examples.
It's okay to be loud in the library of the future. New faces, paces, and spaces.
When we carry around our libraries in our devices, whether they're in our pockets or in our briefcases or whatever, then we pretty much all have to be librarians.
I love the idea of a library expanding its scope and mission to fill the entire school. The return of the one-room schoolhouse with the library at the center.
The knowledge nexus, connecting, transforming now to next.
Portable, participatory, and personalized. Add your page to the story called Library.
The library of the future requires a pivotal shift, and it's a shift in three areas, from services that support traditional knowledge consumption to those that fuel knowledge creation, from spaces that house the world's wisdom through books to those that celebrate the community's cortex through story, and from staff that help students respond to individual research inquiries to those that ignite the learning process through shared discovery.
The next question we asked was, what does that tagline imply?
Well, it's meant to be, first of all, a sticky message. It's meant to, in the sense of running counter to expectations or traditional assumptions about libraries as quiet, monastic environments.
I think that there's a different type of reading that we're going to be experiencing. There's a different type of synthesizing all that information. And I think that all comes under that umbrella of those literacy skills.
What if we thought of the library as the school, right? So that all the schooling takes place in the library. So meaning all the things that we would associate with classrooms would be there, all the location of all the information, all the resources that you need were there inside the library. And then I suggested, you know, it'd be like a return to the one-room schoolhouse, except the library would sort of be the schoolhouse. I just thought it was a really interesting way of thinking differently about libraries and their relations to schools.
That education can be freeing to somebody, that they're in a position now and they want to go somewhere. And so this portal allows them a way to do that, whether it's learning something new, whether it's making something, whether it's communicating with somebody, whether it's inviting somebody to be a part of their work. I think all those are important.
Media and networks have changed the world that we used to know, in which there was a certain authority to texts, and libraries and librarians helped you find authoritative information. Now it's really up to the consumer of information to determine its authority.
Well, I really envision libraries as a place where participation is essential. That could be through face-to-face interaction or through virtual means, but the library really should be a reflection of those that it serves. And so through participation, I envision that students, adults, people of all ages, whatever the library environment may be, can literally help write the story of library and make it their very own.
In order for the library of the future to be realized, we have to think of it as multiple levels. It's not just a space question. It's not a question about services, and it's not a question about the expertise that the people, the librarians, and other individuals who work in libraries bring. It is a whole overhaul of almost everything that makes up that core of the library.
We followed up by asking what fuels their vision of the future of the library.
We have a kind of testing environment right now that really dictates the curriculum to a large extent, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of room for, you know, the types of things that we're talking about in terms of larger literacies or those more important literacies. I don't know where they end up on the test, you know what I mean? And basically we make room in the curriculum for the things that we're testing right now, unfortunately.
What if we sort of return to that older idea? Library is the centerpiece of schooling. It's a centerpiece of learning. And what if we sort of physically recreated that notion so that the library equates to the school? I just found the whole idea very interesting. I don't know if we should move there, but as a futurist, I found the idea just very interesting and thought-provoking.
We're not going to be able to handle the complexities of the world if people don't understand it. And it used to be that you could deliver knowledge to a proportion of the population, and we would be able to manage. No longer is it about delivery of knowledge. It's about helping people instill the skills that are required for them to find their own way through information and to make their own knowledge.
When I think people see that their participation is valued and that they do have ownership in these shared learning spaces, then that really is what I think ignites and sustains these conversations for learning, and consequently brings in, I think, many more diverse voices that just makes what library can be so much fuller and richer and beneficial to everybody.
Libraries have always been about the transference of knowledge. And instead of the transference of knowledge being rooted in a fundamental object, they're now the transfer of knowledge is very active. And libraries, to remain vital to their communities and their organizations, need to focus their attention more on the active process of learning rather than on the passive. I think that's where libraries are shifting the focus from being about institutions that were traditionally about housing collections and providing for a community's consumption activities of knowledge to being about facilitating. Each library is unique, not by what they house in their collection. They're unique by the community of users that they serve. If libraries can shift themselves to be more about generating and harvesting the community's knowledge and bringing the knowledge creation process to the forefront, I think that's where the true value of libraries is as institutions of community learning and engagement.
Creating the future library will not be an easy task. Each expert spoke to the challenges we will face.
We have a very conservative constituency, and so I'm fond of saying that when people are fearful of or object to innovation, what we try to say to them is this, that trying to educate your child for his or her future, not your past. And I believe that the frame of mind and the cultural assumption that school should be just like it was for me and because I've done so well actually militate against the kind of environment we need to create so your children will do well. Fear actually is what drives resistance to change. And the fear is that somehow my child will not be prepared if we begin experimenting or do non-traditional things.
I think it's a challenge to get the profession up to speed in terms of being able to flourish in these types of digital environments where you are skimming a lot. You are trying to collect things. My favorite new verb, or one of them now, is to curate information and to really try to find the best pieces of what's out there and then understand how to share it in ways that make sense. Getting teachers kind of acclimated to that new information environment and getting them to the point where they're fluent in it so that they can begin to implement it into various parts of their curriculum.
Well, the biggest is sort of cultural inertia, as it is with so many changes. You and I can design a new kind of learning space, a new way of thinking about teaching and learning, the place of information, the relationship between librarian and teacher. But instituting that change in pre-existing institutions, really, really, really hard to do. because roles have been defined, we think for centuries, right? But roles have been defined, physical spaces have been created. It's almost as if you're going to make this vision a reality, you have to start anew.
But to me, what's important about it is this idea of now to next, that we're in a point, in some sort of position now, and we're looking to be transformed, to go somewhere else, to become something new, to become something deeper, to know something more. And so for me, this idea of creating a portal that connects where you are now with where you want to go is really important.
Well, the notion of collaborative inquiry. Instead of presenting material, which is then memorized and tested, it's a matter of bringing groups together who share an interest and use the tools and the knowledge that's available to make an inquiry. And I use the word inquiry in the sense that you use search engines to find answers. This is not just about finding answers. This is about looking deeper.
Students in particular, I do think sometimes may feel a little uncomfortable in this, you know, transition. And particularly for students that have been highly successful with the traditional mode of learning, with standardized testing, and unfortunately an emphasis sometimes on the lower levels of Bloom's taxonomy, where one way of knowing or one certain answer is privileged. Yeah, they feel comfortable in that zone, but suddenly when things become more fluid, a little more open-ended, and yeah, there's more decision-making in the process, particularly at this level, when they've come through basically 8 years of schooling and perhaps not have these kind of experiences or very many of them, that definitely is a little bit discombobulating for them.
The challenges are success in the library model of the past. I mean, libraries have been very, very successful at serving communities' needs when they didn't have access to all of the types of information that were available.
While we recognize our experts are not fortune tellers, we ask them what would be the most different thing in a future library.
There may not be books in it. What I'm imagining and what I'm actually seeing at a place like Cushing Academy is the library becomes the hub of people. It's a social networking place. The most important thing is not to have books, it's to have kids.
The librarian of the future is going to be, at least in the near term, in the next 10, 15 years, is going to be someone who's absolutely going to be the role model for those new literacies. That's going to be an important, part to play. So in the near term, I don't think libraries are going to go away, nor librarians. But, I do think that down the road, it's just going to be something that we all do. We have to look at every child as a librarian and help cultivate those library skills and those literacies and those kinds of dispositions in every kid in the school, not just have it in one place.
I don't think that books are going to disappear entirely. I think that books are going to become a much smaller presence in the library. I don't think they're going to disappear for a variety of reasons. But I think that the book is going to have a very different kind of place and role in the library. Necessarily, I think more information obviously is going to be electronic. But what really interests me, and now I'll put on a futurist hat and look out, 20 years or so, is the amount of information that's going to come and is going to have to be stored in ways that we still don't see just yet. So, for instance, one of the things I've been looking at is the rise of personal fabrication, personal manufacturing. I think that there's going to be more and more stuff, physical stuff, being made for purposes of teaching and learning. And that's going to have to be curated, kept someplace. So I think that libraries could become repositories of the stuff that kids make.
That there's time to use the resources. So what I'm talking about is providing resources close to students so they can get materials when they need them, wherever they are and whatever time it is, that they can grab the resources they need and keep working at the pace that they're thinking.
Well, I'm hoping it's going to be project teams exploring knowledge rather than the individual conferring with the librarian or not and seeking texts. This is more about working, collaborating to discover knowledge and make meaning of it than it has to do with finding the needle in the haystack.
The library is going to be a place to come have an experience. What really matters to most people, and this is going to become increasingly important, is relationships. It's a place to evolve and grow. Then I think, you know, we're going to find ourselves probably being more relevant than we've ever been at any point in history.
The Library of the Future has the opportunity for young people to help them actually create a really tangible digital identity that they can then carry forward when they're going to college, when they're job searching, those type of things, that the identity that they create could be built around their knowledge creation process.
Thank you for listening to our Next Chapter podcast. Please make sure to look out for our upcoming online challenges throughout the summer. And if you haven't already, please sign up for our upcoming Next Chapter Summit in September. All information pertaining to the summit and our challenges can be found on our website, nextchapter.reimagine-ed.org.